And many of us have heavy hearts this morning as we've been watching over the last several days the events unfold in Ukraine. And for a lot of us, it's a name that's a little hard to say, maybe. We don't know if we should put "the" in front of it or not. You're not, by the way. But for others, it's a lot closer to home. And so I want to share with you a bit this morning about the people of Ukraine and about the Lord's work there. That yes, it's a country very far from us, but full of people just like you and I. You may not know much about them, but you might be surprised to find out that the number of churches of Christ in Ukraine rival the number of churches of Christ throughout the rest of Europe combined. For many years, since really about the 80s, it has been a fertile ground for the gospel to spread. There are somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 missionaries currently living scattered across Ukraine simply because the people there are so receptive to the gospel. The Christian Chronicle reported one man in 2015 as saying, a young Ukrainian about the age of 16, who said, "Christianity is the greatest treasure we have. Our country was once a part of the Soviet Union. Now the people of Ukraine believe what they want. And after 70 years, we choose to believe in the Master who loves us." These are the people that are currently suffering and being invaded. Here's one picture. Some of you may have seen these. The Christian Chronicle put this one out. This is a group of church members huddled in a basement in Kyiv as they listen to bombs being dropped and missiles being fired on February 24th. In this next picture that I got from a friend of mine, you probably have seen this one as well, but this is a group huddled in the subways in Kyiv as they try to survive each night. These are the people that are suffering. I don't know how many of you remember the show MASH. That was years and years ago, an old television show. And as I thought about what's going on in Ukraine, and I thought about the people there that are suffering, I remembered one scene. It was a scene in the middle of a surgery. There's a guy doing surgery, and someone says, "You know, war really is hell." And he said, "No, it's not. War is war, and hell is hell. And war is much worse." And someone asked him, how do you figure? And he said, "Well, who goes to hell?" Someone replied, "Well, sinners do." He said, "That's right. There are no innocent bystanders in hell, but in war, there are children, there are the elderly. Except for the top brass, everyone involved in a war is an innocent bystander." And these are the people that need our prayer. You may be also surprised to hear that there are a lot of personal connections that many of the members here at Watermill have to the people of Ukraine. Anne's son lived in Ukraine for 4 years. She visited many times and has quite a few friends there. She's wearing a bracelet on her wrist this morning, given to her by someone from Ukraine. Sarah Keener's uncle, David Deffenbaugh, has participated in over 30 mission trips to Ukraine and has many dear friends that are still living there, some of whom they have not heard from. Kyle and Amber Law have supported mission work in Ukraine for several years. Carrie and I have supported mission efforts there as well. At Hillcrest, where we used to be, where the Laws were, there are two families who are currently living in Ukraine doing mission work. Both families work with at-risk youth, operating camps and homes similar to our own Fairhaven. One of those families in Kyiv run a place called Our House. It's very much like Fairhaven, where they take at-risk youth in and provide foster care until they are able to find homes. I've been glued to Facebook watching for updates. When everything started and people knew how bad things were going to get, they tried to get all six of their kids together to leave, but soon became apparent that the roads were clogged and that things were becoming unsafe to travel as Russian troops were coming in and pretty much running over anybody trying to leave. So they returned home. And they're bunkered down. If you show this next picture, they've prepared their root cellar, and show one more here, where they're trying to stay through the night. It's winter in Ukraine, and that's a lot different than winter here, where sometimes temperatures reach negative 32, and these root cellars were designed to be cold, to keep vegetables fresh and fruit fresh year-round. Thankfully, they have that. In his words, thankfully, we have a place where we can go that might give us a little bit of shelter. I have personally been lucky enough to travel to Ukraine on 5 different trips, some in the winter and some in the summer, to visit Jeremiah's Hope. This is a place run by a good friend of mine, a friend of Kyle and Amber's, who's now directing things from in Texas. But for 17 years or so, they operated a camp in the northeast or northwest part of Ukraine, closest to Russia. In fact, just a few miles south of Chernobyl. A friend of mine who's there, who's acting as the current director and operator of Jeremiah's Hope, is a man named Xander. He's a Ukrainian man. He's probably 25, 26 years old. When everything started and tanks began running through Ivankov, which is a name you probably have heard, Ivankov is a town that's only maybe 3 miles north of where their camp is. They evacuated 10 of their kids, rescue shelter kids, to a nearby home in the village that had a root cellar. If you show the next picture here. And then next one. These are the kids at the rescue shelter. Their rescue shelter operates year-round. Their camps operate only in the summer, but their rescue shelter is a lot like Fairhaven. These are kids who come from all over Ukraine. The government, and they deem a child too unsafe to live in a home, which their circumstances are pretty bad. They will take them and take them from all over the country and bring them to Jeremiah's Hope. Only Xander and the camp cook were present when everything began happening. And so for the last 48 hours, two adults with these 10 children have been huddled in a root cellar waiting. We haven't actually heard from them in the last 12 hours. We know that the Russians occupy the town where they live. This morning, as we sit and worship, night is falling in Ukraine. And as my friend tells me, that's the worst time. The Russians become more active in their movements and attacks. They can catch a bit of sleep during the day, but as night falls, they have to seek shelter, not knowing what might happen, unsure of what's next. We wanted to share with you this morning some of the personal stories of the connections that we have, because these are people just like you and I. I had the privilege to kiss my kids goodnight last night, knowing that we would wake up and come here this morning. It's in times like this we wonder, what do we do? What do we do? What do they do? And as Christians, the answer must be, we wait. We wait for the Lord.
There's a picture of those who wait for the Lord in Psalm 37. The phrase before you here actually comes from Psalm 37. And verse 9, I want to take a little wider view of this. This is happening on a day when, obviously, as Josh announced for us earlier, we have other people with their own concerns on their minds. I'm glad this is also happening on a day when several of our people are going to be serving lunch to people who don't have much. The problem that we're talking about here is obviously one which has been a very real part of trying to walk by faith for God's people of all ages. I know that because there are 4 Psalms which deal with the same problem this one does. Psalms 10, 49, 73, and then 37. In this one, when we're asking what do we do about situations like the ones that we have thought about this morning, the advice given is very, very realistic. This passage focuses on a phrase which is, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers." That's in verse 1. Be not envious of wrongdoers, it says. Then in verse 7, about halfway through, fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And then in verse 9, at the end of verse 8 again, fret not yourself. It only tends to evil. That verse says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. The idea of fret not yourself is a more picturesque one than it appears in most of our translations. The phrase refers to a combination of anxiety and anger. Now you have a recipe and you pour in one cup of anxiety and two cups of anger and you stir it up and you get frustration and it burns. And it's what this psalm calls the kind of anger that causes wrath that needs to be refrained from. You know, Ephesians 4 tells us to be angry and not sin. There are things that should offend us and should upset us, and yet part of walking with the Lord is knowing how to deal with that without allowing it to become the entire tone of our lives. How do you do that? In this passage, there is one part of it is attached to the evildoer. And what it says is, verse 2, for they shall soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. The green herb, is it herb or herb? I'm not sure. But you know that if it's cut off, then it doesn't last long. It withers. The most consistent illustration in the Bible of the fate of a mortal man without God in the picture is grass that withers up and dies. Over in verse 7, in verse 8, it tells us to not fret ourselves over this kind of thing. Verse 9 says, for the evildoers shall be cut off. And then verse 10, in just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. That the idea of the Lord's justice in the Lord's time is present in all these phrases. The problem is the Lord's time is not always our time. So what do we do in the meantime? And I'm thankful that Psalm 37 leaves us with some answers to that question. They are very basic and very, very important in terms of spiritual health and emotional well-being and even the sense of peace in our lives. I'd like you for a moment to please notice these guidelines for us. They are in a series of almost bullet point-like phrases. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. That's first. Trust in the Lord, do the good you can do. Do what you can. You can't do everything, but trust in the Lord, do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Some paraphrases or some translations say cultivate faithfulness. Some say feed on faithfulness. Dwell in the land where you are and enjoy, one version says enjoy faithfulness. And it's talking about God's faithfulness. Depend on it. Let it be new every morning in your life because His faithfulness is great. Next, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Very close parallel to the New Testament's instruction in Philippians 3 and verse 1 and 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, even now. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't allow the focus on the terrible things that are going on to cause you to forget to delight in the Lord and in His ways. Next, commit your way to the Lord. Your way probably not only means your way of life, but your future, your destiny. Turn it over to the Lord's hand and say, I'm in your care, like Jesus in Gethsemane, as Aaron read us about, not my will, but yours be done. He was committing his way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Now, that's the hard thing, isn't it, right now? When will he, and how will he? Well, that's what trust in him is for. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Some versions translate, he'll bring forth your vindication, that is, judgment in your favor, as the light, and your justice as the noonday. I walked out on Friday when the snow was out there and the sun was on it, and I could tell it was noonday. Well, here, justice is what's brought forth in that way by the Lord. And then this guidance: be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still is translated rest in some versions. Rest before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then a little later, as we said in verse 9, evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. That calls for some trust, all right, right there, because it doesn't always look that way. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek, or the humble, or the gentle shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Now I'd like to skip down a little farther to how this psalm wraps it up. In verse 34 beginning. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land, and you will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself out like a green tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. This is one of those. And we would like to commit our way to the Lord. Our interest in things like this is peace and people, and that the Lord's people be able to live with peace, lives of dignity and godliness, so that other people will be able to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Barney is going to come on behalf of our eldership here, lead us in prayer this morning for people who are in the midst of the suffering we've been talking about today. Bow with us, please. Everyone, please be standing for this.
Would you bow with me? Our loving and kind Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being a shield around us. We thank you so much for holding our heads up. Father, we are coming to you on behalf of our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our concerned, our children, all those that today are living in harm's way. We pray for the people of Ukraine. Father, we pray that as we have studied today, that we will not fret, that we will trust in you and continue to do good. We pray, Father, that our faith will be in you, that we will always commit to your ways and recommit to your ways when necessary. Help us to understand, Father, that you and you alone will ultimately bring forth justice. Help us to put a control over our anger. Help us to find rest. Help us to wait patiently. Help us to act in compassion, concern, care, and love for those folks that are in harm's way. Help us, Father, to always be your children that seek peace and seek love for one another. Help those that today are under very stressful situations, whether it be living in a root cellar, whether it be trying to make sense out of senseless acts, whether it be even those that are committing those senseless acts, we ask, Father, that calmer heads can prevail. We ask that peace can be renewed in that part of the world. We ask, Father, that again, we put our trust and our faith in you. You have served us throughout time. You have shown us what true sacrifice is. You have allowed us to be called your children, regardless of where in the world we are or when we are serving. Father, we know that your love abounds. We may separate in our old physical bodies. Most of us will, Father. But we will never separate our spiritual bodies, our souls from you, if we allow you to continue to be a shield around us. Thank you for being that shield. Protect those, be with those, especially in Ukraine. Calm our troubled hearts. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to read the last verse of Psalm 37 and remind us all of what God did to make it possible for this to be true in our lives. It says simply, "The Lord helps them," that is, those who seek His righteousness, "and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." The wicked turns out to be the evil one in the New Testament. God gave His own Son to make it possible for there to be a new and living way for anyone who will to take refuge in His Son. That means that it's possible for us to believe in what God has done for us, to turn our minds to God's rule in our lives and not our own ways, to confess what Christ has done for us, and to be baptized into His name so that we are united with Him. God made it possible for us. If we made that beginning and we wandered away, He made it possible for us to change our hearts and to come back to Him, confessing our need and having brothers and sisters to pray with us that forgiveness may be ours again. We are so fortunate that it is possible for us to take refuge in Christ.
I want to close by telling you about two more people. One is named Dima. David Deffenbaugh posted a video of Dima, who is a church leader in Kyiv. And it showed him with members of his church who had found their way to the church building. And in it, he said, "We are gathered here to wait this out, and this is good. We are here to pray and sing together, and this is good. We know that your prayer and thoughts are with us, and this is good. We feel God's presence among us, and this is good. Another was from a friend of mine named Masha. She was an interpreter for us at the kids' camp that we went to. She came to be in the girls' cabins and help our girls be able to communicate with the kids. She lives as a college student and member of the church in Kyiv. She posted a video of her congregation. And in the video, you can see them sitting around in a circle with their hymn books open, singing, all the while hearing bombs and gunfire in the background. At the end of Psalm 37 that Bill just read, it said, because they take refuge in him. How do we do that? How do we take refuge and wait in him? What do we do when faced with trials? I think we do a lot like the people I just described. We find refuge in song, in prayer, in the Word of God, and in community. We take refuge in him by doing what we've done this morning, by going to God in song, by praying, by making known to him our requests and the things that are on our hearts. And this is good. We offer to you this morning an invitation. As always, we offer the invitation to join the community of faith by putting on Christ in baptism and receiving forgiveness of your sins. But we also invite you to join us in continuing our prayer for the people and the Christians of Ukraine. We invite you to join us in doing whatever we can to support. We invite you to join us in following the advice that Bill gave to us from Psalm 37. Find your refuge in God. Take refuge in him. Whatever we can do for you this morning, we want to help. We want to listen. We want to be here for you. If there are any requests that we don't know about, any other hurts or pains that we need to be aware of, we want to hear those as well. Above all, our prayer this morning is that no matter what comes, we might be faithful. And so let us stand and sing one final song, or one more song, that asks that very thing. Let us be faithful.